Zion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zion Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we are on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is July 10th, 2014. The world is in great turmoil. Most just don't get it yet. They don't realize, but we are in the time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And if you folks don't use the internet, remember, you can call me at one of those two numbers, preferably the first number, for any information you need about the programs, how to donate, or whatever. Anyway, you can always find updates, though, with the people that do use the internet, with the breaking news, our ministry radio program archives, and our mailing address, and our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Now, prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray, Father, the world is in such great turmoil. Father, I ask that this program help wake up those people out there, Father. Lift the veil from their eyes and their ears so that they might hear, and give our guests and me tonight the right words in which to tell them so that it hits their heart, so they repent and come to the kingdom, and so they are prepared for this day of trouble that's coming upon us. And please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight in your mighty son's name. Amen and amen. Our border is being invalidated. All kinds of plagues are coming across the border with these so-called children. Yes, some of them are children, but do you realize that some of these children that they've talked to as young as 8 years old have been involved with torture and murder in their own countries? These children, a lot of them are in street gangs that murder people in a second thought. They're asking churches to take these children in. The churches are telling the people, the Catholic Church, are saying, well, take care of these children and we'll reimburse you. Really? Well, what if some 8-year-old wakes up in the night and doesn't like you and decides to torture you to death or slit your throat? Really? Yeah, some of these are innocent, but so many are not. They're even carrying things like leprosy and all forms of other plagues. Really, what I've read about them, the tuberculosis and the things that they're bringing in, are strains that this country is not used to, that our antibiotics have a hard time with. You know, we are supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves, but your neighbor is considered somebody that these people are an invading force. These people are an invading force. You're not supposed to do something that's going to damage your own country. These people are here for not good reasons. Maybe they are running from something in their own country. But you know what? We are supposed to help the stranger that comes among us. Absolutely. But also the Torah tells us that the stranger that comes among us is supposed to abide by our laws and go be assimilated in and abide by what our God Yahweh says. Really? Do you think that these children, so-called, and what about the ones that are above 18? So many of these people are carrying plagues. There's ones that are over 18 years old. that are coming in. It's just not all so-called children because they're below 18. Some these that are over 18 are MS-13 or whatever that is, gang members and such. And you know what they're being done? They're not even really scanning them to see if they have diseases and things. They're busing them out to different parts of the country and letting them out in various bus terminals with a piece of paper that says you need to show up in court in so many days, weeks, or months. They're being released into different parts of the country. So if they're carrying a disease, maybe they're a totally innocent kid, young man or young woman. But what are they carrying with them? Then, with the world in turmoil, look at the Middle East. You can't tell me the Middle East isn't in turmoil. Today, Israel is fighting off bomb attacks. Random bomb attacks that are hitting everywhere. Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, they hit everywhere. They're getting ready for a ground offensive. You know, then we have the so-called caliphate raising up in Iraq. The world is in great turmoil, folks. It's time to repent and get close to your Savior. And so tonight, I bring back on with me Steve Henderson. Most of you know him. He's been on here on several programs. He does a Sure Word of Prophecy. We brought Steve back on to continue a talk he started doing on the coming storm. And believe me, Steve not only walks the walk, or talks the talk, but he walks the walk. Welcome, Steve. Are you there with me?
No, not so, Pastor Dan. How are you today?
Well, I'm pretty good, but I don't know so much about the world. But I'm really good because each one of these things that happens brings me another step closer to being able to look up in the sky and seeing my Savior coming with a mighty army. Amen.
Absolutely. You know, there is a silver lining on all this dark cloud that we see, you know, Brother. He said that when you see these things, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption is pretty close. So,
yeah, amen.
Brother, I want to thank you for your invitation and for your program. I get a thrill out of being able to talk to prophecy with most people. They don't want to hear about it around the neighborhood or even in the churches. They want to hear more about things that are going out with their jobs and the cares of life. But you talk about Bible prophecy and things that relate to current issues and the biblical prophets forecast of the futures. And I just really appreciate your program. I'll let you know that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you, too. Absolutely. Like I told you over the phone, I believe that you're somebody that not just believe, you know, you didn't come on radio and just talk about it. You talk about it, but you walk the walk also. And that counts a lot with me. And so I'm more than happy to have you on. And really, folks, a lot of you, if you don't know it, I know a lot of people still pick his stuff up in the archives. And he is one of our top listened to guests on this program, by the way, Steve.
Well, Brother, I really do believe this is a day of preparation. The wise perceive the evil and hide from it, and I think that if you really do know and really do believe, then you're going to act accordingly. First of all, you're going to get away from that television set a little bit more and get more into the Word of God.
Hey, amen to that one.
You know,
the telephone, it's the other one. Wait a minute. We can't leave the other culprit out. It's called a smartphone. Have you ever walk into a busy, just a minute, let me tell you this. Walk into a busy Walmart around Thanksgiving or Christmas time, and when you walk in the door, just stop and turn around and brace yourself because five or six people will run into you because they're all walking with looking at their smartphone.
I get a kick. You're going to a restaurant and have a bite to eat, and there's a couple of people sitting across from one another, and both of them have a cell phone in their hand, and they sit there for a half hour and don't speak to one another. I think they're texting each other instead of speaking.
Yeah.
They just text, you know. Yeah, we're in quite a zany generation, and man, there's all kinds of devices and things that distract you and keep you from really, you know, looking at the real issues. And last time I spoke, Brother, we were talking about a storm that I believe is coming. And I believe the prophets are replete with evidence and with a true 100% accurate forecast about what we're to look for, and they give us a warning beforehand. This storm is coming. It's no longer a storm watch, Brother. It's a storm warning. And I just don't believe that many people are prepared nor do they have their selves in the position to, when it does come, they're going to be anchored well enough to be able to withstand that day, having done all to stand. And that requires a lot of perseverance, a lot of diligence, to get up and put the armor on every day, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, the belt of truth, and having done everything in an evil day to stand, but know that he goes before us in this storm. He's actually in the storm, and it's coming, brother, just as clear. I don't understand why people are so flat, busted asleep, but Yeshua said that the kingdom of heaven would be likened to 10 virgins. 10 of them would be there, and all of them would go out because they heard that the bridegroom was coming, but he tarried, and they all went to sleep, wise and foolish. But the thing that woke them up was, behold, the bridegroom is coming. And hopefully, before the end of this message here, brother, some of the wise will wake up and trim the lamps and get ready, because we are facing the precipice of eternity and the good news that Yeshua is coming.
Amen.
Well, I want to talk about a forecast according to the scriptures. Throughout the Bible, you find weather-related metaphors, which mainly allude to conditions which eventually plummet the earth. And the scriptures are replete with a forecast of the development of a perfect storm coming. And I'd like to read just a couple of scriptures to get this thing set off. The first one is found by the prophet Ezekiel. And he gives us an idea of what to do here. He says, prepare yourself and be ready. You and your compound companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. After many days, you will be visited. In the latter years, you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people in the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. You will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops and many peoples with you. And thus saith the Lord Yahweh, on that day it will come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, and against the people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of land. Yes, you will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land, so the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O God, before their eyes. That was through a prediction and a prophecy of the prophet Ezekiel. And throughout the Bible, you find these weather-related metaphors, because God is in the wind. He's in the whirlwind. He's in the storm. And we're going to need to know that very, very clearly when it's finally unleashed. And I believe right now, brother, we are in the book of Revelation describes a time as the angels are holding back the four winds of heaven, and they're holding back into a certain time. In the book of Revelation, there's sealing and there's a marking in the forehead. And I believe at this particular time, there are people being tested of the faith. And if you're going through anything strange right now, just recognize it as being something that's trying to build you up for this coming event that's coming on the earth. And I believe those angels are holding back those four winds. But at some point in time, those four winds are going to be let loose. And they're going to strive upon the sea, and then in that event, it's going to be a tremendous turmoil upon the earth. The psalmist, one of the, I guess he was called a prophet, Asaph, was also made a prophetic declaration in Psalm 83, and I'd like to read just a little bit of that for you in verses 2 through 5. He declared, behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. For they have consulted together with one consent. They have formed a confederacy against you. This storm, brother, that's coming is going to start in the Middle East. And from the storm clouds and the thundering and the lightnings and the great amount of whirlwind that hits that place over there, it will eventually cover the whole planet. In this same prophecy, he said, who said, let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for a possession? Oh, my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind. As the fire burns the woods and the flame sets the mountains afire, so pursue them with your tempest and frighten them with your storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, O Lord Yahweh. Let them be confounded and dismayed forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish, that they may know you, whose name alone is Yahweh, and who is most high over all of the earth. According to the prophecies, Pastor Dan, the storm clouds will develop in the Middle East and pick up steam as it causes a massive devastation upon planet Earth. And these prophecies that I just spoke to you about concern the nation of Israel. Remember, this book called the Bible was written by Jewish prophets and Jewish prophecies, and they all have something to do and are connected with Israel.
Amen.
And go ahead.
Small comment. Amen. I agree with you. You know, that's why, you know, Israel is like a time clock. We watch it to see what happens over there. And by watching it, that's how we can compare these other events that are coming worldwide. But yet, that turmoil, that big storm you're talking about, I'm in agreement. It most definitely starts from there. And I believe that that wind's picking up speed right now. Back to you.
Oh, brother. I'm almost in shock. The rapidity of the things that are taking place. You know, 25 years ago, I began to study the prophecies with extreme diligence. And back in those days when I first started, I mean, I was in Scripture 5 or 6 hours a day. And I still am very excited about the Word because it's an inexhaustible book. The deeper it gets, deeper I go, the deeper it gets. And it's not only up to date, but it's ahead of date. So I want to continue in it. And back a long time ago, I had a picture of things that would take place back, many, many years ago. And now, before my very eyes, here they are. And I'm just so amazed at the rapidity of the things the storm is gathering quickly. But we need to know.
Amen. Let me throw one other thing in here.
Sure.
I did my program for years, but when the Arab Spring started, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, however you want to say it, put it on my heart to start sounding the warning deeper. And that's when I started using the shofar at the first of every program, because I believe that really started an end time thing, the time of the end.
You know, the shofar, that was specifically designed for great events. And there is going to be a great trumpet blows one day, brother. The Lord is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet, the shofar of Yahweh. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive remain. We're going to have a glorious reunion, and we'll be forever with the Lord. And that day is on us. And the prophet Joel prophesies about that, and it's pretty relevant to what you were just saying. Joel prophesied, blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the earth and the land tremble, for the day of Yahweh is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. People come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been seen, nor will there ever be such after them, even for many successive generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them the flame burns, and the land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing will escape. You look at a tsunami, that one that hit Japan and the devastation. You know, I have a picture of this of these prophecies and how the trumpet should be blown and the alarm should be going out before the people. And he describes it as a day of darkness and gloominess and a day of clouds and thick darkness and morning clouds and along with it, a terrible amount of calamity that comes with this storm in the form of fighting nations and wars and this type of thing that brings eventually unity and a great deception upon the whole earth in the final days just before Yeshua arrives. Brother, you look at the news, and you had mentioned just briefly what is taking place in Israel, and I am just absolutely astounded by the restraint so far that Israel has had as the group Hamas and Islamic Jihad have sent over 150 or so rockets here in the last few days into Israel. I could imagine how we would react if a nation came over to Washington, D.C., any group at all, and threw a few rockets into our capital. What kind of response that would create? And what amazes me...
Probably wipe them off the map.
Oh, my goodness. you know, and really, you know, Israel holds, you know, a couple hundred nuclear bombs, you know? And I just have this sneaking suspicion that at some point in time, Israel's going to have to pull one of those nukes out, because if you look at what is going on as far as the viciousness toward them, the world opinion toward them, you know, when those three youth were kidnapped over there, which I guess started to what they're almost referring to now as the Third Intifada.
Okay, we're going to have to stop. We've got less than a minute before break time.
Okay.
Please give them your website and tell them what they can find over there.
Well, I'll tell you, if you like prophecy and if you like to hear about the current events that relate to prophecy, I have a section called Prophetic News. I try to get that updated. Now, I have been out in the country building. I'm one of these believers who believe I need to be out away from the masses and get my place prepared for a big garden. And I'm not just preaching the Lord's coming. I'm getting prepared so that maybe hopefully I can help others when this time comes also. So, the website, www.surewordprophecy.org.
SureWordProphecy.org, SureWordProphecy.org. And, folks, if you're just about anywhere you'll be listening to this program, you can probably find a link, or you will find a link to SureWordProphecy.org. It was not of prophecy, SureWordProphecy. Anyway, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Well, we're going to be back if we ever leave, Steve. Well, sometimes everything's run by computers nowadays, and so you never can tell what's going on the other end. Anyway, we'll be right back, folks. Maybe. Okay. Well, Steve, let's give your website one more time, and maybe they'll have it fixed by then. It's
sure.
Your word.
SureWordProphecy.org, O-R-G. And along with that, I have some presentations of some pictures of my presentations, four or five of them over there. It'd be well for you to look at some of those. It's kind of a brief synopsis of each of the ones that I think are the most important that we should be sharing with people right now. One is entitled Daniel, the Unsealed Book. One is entitled Jerusalem, A Cup of Trembling. One was entitled The Time of the End, The Abomination of Desolation. I had just put out a DVD, really good DVD called Health Prophecy, The Second Death. Pastor Dan, I plan on getting you one here this next week. Hopefully a couple of them for your viewing. But, a lot of good things over there. I have The Strange Doctrines.
Okay, well, look, I found out that the problem has been fixed, and folks,
okay,
we'll be back in a couple of minutes with more with Steve talking about prophecy.
Dan will be right back.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit discount gold and silver trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors, the mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
We are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, that little bit just before we went off, yeah, don't you just love live radio? I love live radio. And with live radio, once it goes out the way it goes, you know, that's it. So there is no redo, hit the reset button. No, it's live, and you get it live, and that's just the way it is. Anyway, folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, of course, the homeless are poor, but we're talking about the other poor people that lack of things like clothing and food and prayers and Bibles and things like that. First aid, they come to us. We don't judge them. They walk in the door. They ask if we have the way to do it. We fill the need. If we don't, we pray it in. And so many people come to us, being the agencies send people to us, because simply they know that we don't have set guidelines or programs. We just pray about it, and that's kind of how we fit the need. But, you know, folks, really, a lot of people think that, well, he's out on radio, and thousands of people are listening. Sure they are. We're out on radio, and we're on the Internet, and people listen to us all over the world. But you notice that we don't sell any products. Most people that are on radio have DVDs to sell and books. You know, I've been planning on writing a book, but I just haven't had the time because I'm so busy with doing the things that I'm doing and caring for the people. The point is we have nothing to sell you. All we have is the ask to show you the need. You know, it's people like you that listen to us on radio that has kept us going for now that we're in our 15th year that started in June. But, you know, when summertime comes, and I know people are busy, whether they're off on vacations or, you know, there just isn't enough money to go around for everything, you know, and you're probably still donating to your local church. But pray about it. Any kind of donation will help because, folks, without you guys, we just can't do it. We need you to pray about it. And any kind of donation will help. Like I said, you know, there is no small donations with the Father. The donation that... What's small with the Father is if you give $1 million and you don't feel in the spirit right about giving it, or it's not given from the heart, that's what I'm after. If it's not given from the heart or you do it gruffingly, well, yeah, sure, $1 million would really help and it would go to his use, but it wouldn't help you much because of the grudging spirit that you would give it with. So we don't want you to give anything grudgingly. We want you to pray about it. We wouldn't want you to feel good about it. But believe me, it's summertime. We need your help. It's like the water spigot has turned off. You know, we've been going day by day and hour by hour, you know. So this last week, you know, we had a gentleman walk in, and, man, he come in and treated everybody to Kentucky Fried Chicken. And we did over 60 plates, and so that was wonderful for everybody and a nice surprise. But pray about it. We do need your help. You can donate online, or you can mail a check or money order. I do ask that if you mail a check or money order that you might make a notation as to what it's for, or you, at least maybe if you're listening on the Internet, send me an email and let me know that it's on the way so I can tell my wife who, you know, wives are wonderful. I don't know if you use yours this way, but my wife, the money comes in and I give it to her and, hey, my electricity stays on and the gas stays on, my Internet stays on. All those things stay on, and I don't worry about it. So she's the one that does the worrying. So I like to let her know when things are coming. But anyway, pray about it. And I pray that the Father blesses you. And if you enjoy this radio program, consider donating to airtime. Airtime is not free. We have to pay the station, which has to pay for satellite radio. And most of you are listening on the Internet, but Internet has to be paid for, too. So just pray about it. Remember, we don't sell anything. The only thing we do is we're here to warn you about the times that we're in so that you might get close to Yeshua, so that you might be saved in that day of trouble. Anyway, we're back now with one of my favorite guests, Steve Henderson. Are you there with me, Steve?
I'm here, brother. You know, it's a lot more important to take care of people than write a book, for sure. You know,
Amen.
I think so many big-time ministers, they want to write books and make millions of dollars when there's so many around them that are hungry and thirsty. God bless you, brother, for your work. I always count you a blessing in my life just because I know you're a fellow brother to have a heart for God, to be a servant. And there's no greater thing than to be a servant for him. And if we could all grab that and grab a hold of it, we wouldn't have to worry about the government taking care of us, would we?
Yeah, amen. It really isn't meant. You know, a lot of people get mad. They say, well, the government, you know, or the city of Wichita isn't taking care of the homeless. Well, really, it's not their job. It's the job of the church. That's whose job it was. But when churches became 501(c)s about the same time welfare broke out, and the job went away from the church to the government, and now the church just uses their money mostly, not all churches, but most churches just use their money for, you know, big, huge buildings and so on and so forth. That's where most of the money goes, and paying huge salaries instead of taking care of the poor and homeless. And, you know, but amen, any little bit that they do, I'm thankful for. And I just wish they would get a little more excited and preach more about the end times. so more people could get saved. Because in the end of everything, that's what it's all about, brother.
Well, we sure need a wake-up call. You know, there were a lot of people when the World Trade Center got hit with those two planes. Boy, they were all holding hands, singing God Bless America, and the churches were full of people, you know. And I have a feeling that that is what is going to come here pretty quick, is that this will be a big wake-up call. And I think that, as the scripture reveals, God himself is going to take it in his hands, and he is going to show himself to be very, very powerful. The elements are going to rattle and roll. There are going to be great earthquakes. The John sees this mountain coming out of the sky in the book of Revelation, and it hits the earth, and it creates tremendous havoc on the earth. So not only are the powers of the heavens going to be shaken, but everyone, before it's all over with, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Yeshua
is Lord. Let me say this. This is something that just hit me, not to interrupt you, and I'm going to let you continue on. After all, I brought you on to talk, not for me to talk. But this is something that just hit me. You know, one day, folks, these homeless people out here, so many of them, you wouldn't believe most of them are Christians. And most of them have a lot of great faith, I'll tell you that. But these people know how to survive. And there's a time of trouble that's coming so bad on this world that you are going to thank your Father for these Christian homeless, because they are going to be taking care of you. You need to think about that. You people that are sitting in your houses and everything and not making any preparation and everything's taken away from you, you're going to be looking for people to help you because your homes are going to be taken away from. And here are there going to be these Christian homeless that act like nothing's happening. Because why? Because they know how to take care of themselves. And they're going to be, you'll be praying they take care of you. Back to you, Steve.
Yeah, the situation will be reversed. I think that rich man Lazarus parable pretty clear on that situation. Good thoughts, brother. I want to share with you some of the current issues, and I think that we should be aware of the monster that is developing, a monster organization, the Islamic terrorists that are gathering together. And what is so amazing to me, Brother Dan, is they're now beginning to fight one another. It's just almost on the point of ridiculous of some of the things that are taking place. I'm reading out of a current Times of Israel article, July 9th, which would have been yesterday. And here is kind of a picture of what their perception is over in Israel. The title of the article, and I do have this on my website, Why We Are Fighting with Gaza. Welcome to the latest episode of Israel's surreal reality in the vicious, unstable, religiously extreme Middle East. To our north, we witness anarchy in Syria, which intermittently spills over into our territory, over 150,000 dead, global indifference, and Syrian doctors sending their patients to Israel for life-saving treatment. To our east, we face Palestinian extremists, demonstratively capable of seizing and killing not only our soldiers, but also our teenage civilians. Further east, Islamic State extremists, so brutal as to make other terror groups seem relatively mild, make gains in Iraq and seek to threaten Jordan. Nearby, the Israel-loathing Iranian regime demands, by its own calculations, 20 times as many centrifuges as even a compromising international community wants to allow for its peaceful nuclear program. And now, down south, we find ourselves drawn into another major round of conflict against Hamas, which insists, for no remotely credible reason, on firing rockets even deeper into Israel from an enclave in which there is no Israeli military or civilian presence whatsoever. That Israelis do not die in great numbers has nothing to do with Hamas and the other terror groups. They're doing their absolute best to kill us. They've been assiduously smuggling in and manufacturing weaponry, so they now have hundreds of missiles that can reach Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, and beyond, while imploring the international community to end Israel's security blockade so they can import even more potent means to murder us. Recent days have seen the Israeli leadership clearly seeking not to get embroiled in another major offensive of Hamas, but its offer, its plea, of quiet for quiet, was ignored. We now brace for missile fire on Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and agonize about the implications of a ground offensive. Analysts posit that Hamas is firing some of its vast rocket arsenal because it has nothing much more to lose anymore, and that it has lost the support of Egypt, that it can't get the money to pay salaries, and that it is retaliating for the deaths of several of its terror operatives in a tunnel that collapsed upon them after Israel had the timidity to attack it, that is, seeking to reassert itself as the only credible resistance to Israel. For Hamas, hostility to the very fact of Israel resistance still far outweighs any and all other interests. You know, Pastor Dan, you read about something like that, and I think we discussed before, you know, why isn't New Jersey in the news? You know, they're about the same size. Israel seems to be the focus of the whole Middle East, and on every side there are very, very significant things taking place, let alone Hezbollah, which is an Iranian-backed terror group, who have, they proclaim around 170,000 rockets pointed toward Israel. And Iran is in great support of not only Hamas and Hezbollah, but the Islamic Jihad, which is also shooting missiles over right now into Jerusalem. I read an article that said Israeli said, well, I hope they go ahead and hit the Temple Mount and take out those two Islamic mosques. You know, what would happen if something like that did happen? That would be World War III right away. And we are right on the middle of a powder keg, and I don't think that too many people see the significant storm that is brewing over there. ISIS is leaving a path right now of destroyed churches, shrines, and mosques in its wake as it storms across Syria and Iraq. And now, check this out. They're even setting their sights on Mecca, Islam's holiest site. Now, explain that to me. That's out of Fox News yesterday, in July 9th, 2014. And the title of it is ISIS Destroys Shrines and Mosques and Maybe Targeting Mecca. Now, of course, as we all know, Mecca is one of the holiest sites of Islam. But here is ISIS, an extreme group who now wants to go to Mecca and take out Islam's holiest site. In this article it says, the nihilistic jihadis, led by self-proclaimed descendant of Prophet Muhammad, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, have already bulldozed or blown up some of the most sacred places in Iraq and seem bent on killing and destroying anyone or anything that does not measure up to their vision of Islam. Of course, we all recognize, Pastor Dan, they have issued out a national caliphate, which is they want to enforce Sharia law on the state of Iraq, and the borders of Syria and Iraq are almost non-existent now. Let me get back to the article. Experts say the group, which was originally stood for Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, but now simply call itself Islamic State, has appointed itself the leading proponent of the Muslim faith. They see themselves as the last defenders of Islamic civilization and want to eradicate anything that they see as the enemy of Islam and any Muslim they perceive as compromising with the West. I think that's pretty amazing. Most compromised of Sunnis, ISIS surprised few when it vowed to destroy sites revered by the Shia sect. The two main blocks of Islam have been at odds for nearly 1,400 years because of a dispute over who was Prophet Muhammad's successor. The destruction of at least 10 ancient Shia shrines in Iraq have enraged the Shia government in Baghdad as well as the Iranian regime. And, brother, I wondered what would bring the ram together, the two horns that are found in Daniel 8, the ram of the Medes and the Persians at the end of time, two horns on this ram, one higher than the other, and the higher horn come up last. And I wondered how them being arch enemies for so long and having such a significant, terrible war for 8 years along that river where Daniel stood 2,500 years ago, over those waterways down there, how they would ever get together. But now I'm finding out that Iran has sent Republican Guard in, and they are helping Iraq fight this ISIS group. And now the West and Obama himself were kind of applauding that for a moment, but now they're backing up and saying, hey, we can't be endorsing Iran in this thing because they're the largest supporter of terrorism in the world. But what a quagmire of disillusional religious nuts. Here they are. Now they're heading, threatening Mecca itself, the holy city, in a Sunni-dominated Saudi Arabia where Muslims believe they must make one pilgrimage during their lifetimes. That's unprecedented. Allegedly, there was a tweet by a member of the extremist group on the site that said that they were taking aim at the most sacred beacon of the Muslim faith. Mecca, home of Islam's most sacred mosque, Al-Masjid al-Haram, and its famed Kaaba, the cube-shaped granite marble building adorned with Quranic inscriptions and priceless relics like the Golden Raiden spout and purported footprint of Abraham and the black cornerstone believed to have been placed by Muhammad himself. These are very, very significant religious shrines, and now ISIS say they're heading that way to tear that down. That is just amazing to me. Here we have Al-Qaeda stepping back and saying, we want nothing to do with ISIS. Those people are crazy. And they're over there cutting heads off by the dozens. I don't know if you've seen any of those pictures. Have you seen any of those pictures of what they're doing over there, Brother Dan?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. A fellow I know that wrote God's War on Terror, Walid Shubat. In fact, he's got something over there about that, about what you were talking about with them wanting to destroy the Mecca. But anyway, yeah, over there on that page, I've had it said on radio, there is whole slaughterhouses that they have set up to cut people's heads off, and most of them are Christians. Christians, by an untold number, are being beheaded for the witness of Messiah. I wonder where I heard that about.
Oh, yeah, I remember reading that somewhere in the book of Revelation, brother. I know I've heard the talk about guillotines in this country and how, I'm not so sure that can be verified, but I will tell you this, there's sure a whole bunch of people out there with swords that sure like that heads off. And,
What I've seen, now let me enter, I'm going to have to say something because, number one, folks, it's not going to be with guillotine. That I don't see them doing it with that. If you watch some of these videos on how they're doing it, they're not even using swords. They're using small knives, and they stick them in the person's throat, and they kind of walk around them, and it is a very gruesome thing, and they snap their necks off. This is a gruesome process. It's not even as simple as laying your head down and getting your head chopped off with one stroke. These videos that are out there are horrific, and it's not a quick death. It's a slow death. Back to you.
Yes, brother, and unfortunately, the most significant target of this group are Christians. I want to read an article here off of the 7th of, I'm sorry, the 3rd of July, just a few days ago, and it said, the title of it is, Persecution Crisis, Christians in the West Need to Intervene Now. In less than 2 weeks, this article says, Iraq went from a semi-functioning democracy to land divided into regional factions ruled in many areas by the extremist group Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, which is imposing Sharia law after driving Christians out of Mosul and other cities in Iraq. Syria lies in tatters as Islamic extremist groups battle for control of the country, which has been engaged in a horrendous civil war for over 3 years. Each day creates more refugees. The largest group is Syrian Christians who are being pushed out of their homeland. Heading to Africa, you can see the battle for Nigeria, where Boko Haram kidnaps Christian girls daring to be educated. More girls were reportedly kidnapped last week, which adds to the approximately 200 that have been missing since March. Of course, Boko Haram has been attacking churches and Christian villages, as well as other targets, at record rates this year. Kenya, too, has a jihadist group called the Al-Shabaab, which is bringing violence and heartbreak to the Christian population in a country at large. What do all the Christians in these countries have in common? Well, certainly all are affected by the violence and the threats by various terrorist groups, Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, Boko Haram, and ISIS, all have similar doctrine and similar funding. In many cases, one group springs forth from one another. All have the goal to spread Sharia law, imposing its Muslim faith by force, that means of coercing Christians to deny their faith, leave their homes, or face death. Many times, followers of Jesus are not given the choice. They are just killed. This is a creed all Muslim terrorist groups have in common. The scriptures are very, very clear that at the end, before Yeshua comes back, that the Christians will be hated by all nations for his name's sake. And when you look at the book of Revelation, you find out that there's going to come a time that the devil is going to go out against a woman who goes against the remnant of the woman's seed, the woman being the church, the true church, which keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yeshua. And this is going to be done where the beast power is even going to be given power over the saints to make war with them and to overcome them. And right now before our very eyes, we are looking at some very, very significant things taking place in with our fellow brothers and sisters in Jesus. And I believe we need to be lifting these dear brothers and sisters up. Here's an article on the 6th of July.
We really don't. We've got about 30. I'm going to have to say goodbye. We're at the end of the program. I guess we're going to have you back on, huh, Steve?
I just got through it, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm afraid I talked a lot of your program, but we'll do it again.
Brother, I appreciate
your website again.
Okay, SurewordProphecy.org. Bless you, brother, and your ministry, and may the Lord keep you.
Okay, thanks for being on. We'll do it again. Goodbye and be blessed. All right, folks. Turmoil all over the world. I believe that I see a lot just outside my door. I know that a lot of Christians, true Christians that are really, really trying to serve him, and it doesn't matter where they have money or not, or under different, under tribulation. I believe tribulation is here among us. And when it says, you know, don't be fooled, folks, you know, it talks about some of the things in the world. Remember, the Antichrist, if you really, really look at what the scripture says, if you look at what the prophets say in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it talks about the Antichrist only being 10 nations, and it's talking about those 10 nations attacking Israel. You know, when it says, when they use some words like all, look up the word all, and what it says, all doesn't necessarily mean all. It meant the known world and the things at the time that the book was written. While I believe there will be a great tribulation over the whole planet, I do not believe that the Antichrist will rule over the whole planet, but the world is going to be terrible. I got to go. We must remember there is only one God. He is the Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins, and through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Please pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is so gracious to you that he gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.